The Holy Gospel according to John, the fourth chapter. And I invite you to sit for the reading of the Gospel today. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of the ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Joseph's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon, and a Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." And his disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." Woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." And the woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where the people must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit. And those who worship God must worship in spirit and truth." And the woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." And Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came, and they were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking to her?" And then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city, and she said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" And they left the city and went on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." And so the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say 4 months more, then come the harvest? Then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you. See how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true: one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritan came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you have said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I do not believe that any one of us has lived through a time quite like this, COVID-19. In my box of pictures and mementos from my childhood, my early childhood, are ration cards, and they have my name on them. But in my lifetime, I don't ever remember going to the grocery store and seeing not one package of meat or toilet paper. It is definitely frightening, difficult times. And certainly worship has been canceled many times because of snow, but because of a pandemic. As staff, we met this week and we prayed about what direction to take, which I shared with you. And as the days went by this weekend, one after another congregation made the decision to not worship today. And I was beginning to get anxiety, to say the least, wondering if we had made the right decision. So I believe we have. So for those of our family of faith who are here today, I'm so glad to see you. But I also know that many have chosen to stay home for very, very good reasons. And that is okay. It's more than okay. It is the right decision for them. There is no guilt involved with this. And my sense, as I've already said, is that after our congregation council meets Monday night, next Sunday might look very different. In fact, Tuesday morning might look very different, but I'll still be here. I'll still be here. But you and I are here today to be fed on word and sacrament, to share time together, even if we can't shake hands, and to just share holy time together in this very holy space. Not preaching on the assigned lectionary is something I've only done one other time in my career, and that was the Sunday of 9/11. Today will be the second time. Those of you who were here Wednesday night heard the text that I used, and Deacon Bill and Kim heard it at staff this week. It is one of the touchstone texts in my own faith life and my own faith journey, that thing we call life, that I turn to so very often because it speaks to me fresh and anew each time. And I'm sure it would be fun to sit down with each one of you and try to find out what is your touchstone or what are some of your touchstone texts for your faith journey and your faith life. And certainly we have more than one. But from Paul's letter to the Philippian community, it's a very, very joyful letter. Paul liked this community a lot. They were helping support him. He's supporting his ministry. He's writing this particular letter while he is in prison, and it is combined with his belief in God's grace for both himself and the Philippians, and that therefore God deserves ultimate thanks. According to Paul, there is true joy in knowing Christ and his resurrection, which provides Paul and the Philippians with a whole new perspective on life and enables them to rejoice. Yes, rejoice, even in difficult circumstances. Our siblings in the Hebrew Scriptures and our siblings in the New Testament were not all that very different from you and me. They didn't get to go to the grocery store quite as easily as we do, but they needed comfort for today. They needed hope for tomorrow. And so I'm going to read to you, but first I'm going to read it to you from Eugene Peterson's The Message, because it helps us to all hear Scripture differently and afresh when we read it from different texts, different translations. And the title of the paragraph is Pray About Everything. Celebrate God all day. Every day, I mean. Revel in God. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the master is about to arrive. He could show up at any minute. And don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Let petitions and praise shape your worries into prayers. Letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. I love that translation. It says it in such different kinds of words, and to me it speaks more clearly, maybe not to you, so we can also go back to the more traditional version a little bit later. So how can we possibly rejoice in the Lord when our 401ks are slipping away, medicines are hard to get? I stood in line yesterday to pick up a couple prescriptions of my own, which are just very common generic things, and two of them are not available. They are on back order, and they do not know when they will come in. The person in front of me needed one of the very, very expensive heart medications. It's not available. This is really scary. That part is really scary, I have to admit. How can we rejoice in the Lord when companies and airlines and are laying off folks because of no business? Schools are closed, and for families with two working parents, that creates severe problems, and the list goes on and on. We can rejoice and give thanks because of the promises made to us by Jesus and the writers of the Hebrew Scripture. So that as a family of faith, let us begin sharing and hearing some of these words. And after worship, please come to me and share with me some of your special texts that hold meaning for you. So I always turn to Matthew, the end of the gospel. Jesus promises us, "Lo, I am with you always. Lo, I am with you always." And from our beloved Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And even though I walk through COVID-19, I fear no evil," or "I need fear no evil, because you are with me." And Psalm 46, "God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heat of the sea." And Psalm 121, "The assurance of God's protection. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." And Romans 12, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." And another one from Romans, "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself or herself intercedes for us through words that we can't even understand, through our groans. The Spirit intercedes for us." My dear friends, our Lord is always listening to us. One of the disciplines of Lent is prayer. Kind of interesting to me, that's not the right word to use, kind of serendipitous to me that this is happening during the season of Lent. A season when we take time to pause, pray. Those of you who are using that wonderful little devotion that's out on the table back out there, yesterday's devotion about Jesus touching and healing was just so very profound. As I always tell my kids in confirmation class, Prayer is a two-way conversation between two people who love each other. Prayer is a two-way conversation between two people who deeply love each other. So, we face this week and the coming weeks with great uncertainty, and for some, the uncertainty is greater than for others, without any question, and I'm not trying to make light of that. I know it's affecting so many different things in so many different ways. But I also think when we come to the end of this, that maybe our world will have changed a little bit. Maybe we will have slowed down and appreciate some peace and some quiet. Maybe we will appreciate and spend more quality time with our families, that the world just kind of begins to slow down a little bit. But in the midst of all of this, in the midst of all of what is going on, whether we're able to gather together as the people of God in this holy space next Sunday, and I think the answer is probably no, whether or not we're going to find ways to remain in contact with one another. We have vulnerable members in our congregation who are going to need us to reach out to them via the telephone, a funny little side to the telephone. We usually communicate in this building via text, or rather this human being, this humanoid does. And my phone rang the other day, and Deacon Bill said to me, he said, "Peggy, you know we do have a telephone here." I said, "Yeah, is that what that black box is?" We're going to need to be reaching out to one another to check in on our friends and on our neighbors. The Schultz family is going to need our continual care with some food after Annalise's death. We're not going to just stop caring about each other because we cannot be in this particular holy space on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. It will be different, and I don't think that's necessarily bad. So now, hear again the words from Philippians in the text that you're more familiar with. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness and compassion and caring be made known to everyone, for the Lord is near. We need not worry about anything, because in prayer we take everything to God with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. Let your needs be known to God. Our God hears you. And then, the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I can promise you that. Amen.